Welcome to Ask the Experts, where each week we talk to people in the industry. That inside word on what's happening right now, what that means for the tactics you should use to make the most of your money. If you've ever been interested in property investment, you'll have heard one word mentioned over and over: leverage. All it means is using an asset, probably your own home, and then using debt against that in order to invest into something else, probably that investment property. Now, it's all well and good in theory, but you are literally putting your family home on the line in order to grow your wealth. There are ways and ways of doing this, and some are smart. Others, if done wrong, can cause you some serious stress. So let's figure them out, along with our favorite Katie Wesney from Enable Me, who knows all about the ways to do this without losing sleep.
Making Sense has partnered up with Enable Me to get you the strategies for reaching financial freedom faster. Whether you're wanting to get mortgage-free or grow your wealth through investments, they've got the team to help you. Head to their website to learn more. Visit enable.me today.
Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Hey, Katie, welcome back. Look, I gave a super quick and dirty overview there, but leverage, what is it? Should we be scared of it?
Leverage, as you said, is using debt to grow wealth, like borrowing against your home to buy another property. It's not something to fear, but it needs to be respected. Mm-hmm. Used wisely, it can accelerate your progress. Used recklessly, it can tie you up in stress and risk. The key is knowing your limits and your why. That is your anchor.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. I feel like so much of money is like comes back to knowing your why, knowing what you're going into it for is going to set the guidelines on things. Because constantly people will say to me, what's the way to do this? And I'll often say there's not the way, and be very, very careful of any money expert who says this is the one way to do it and there's only one way. It's going to start with your life goals first, then your money goals, and then the strategy, right?
So true.
So, bit of an advanced tactic, like you said, leverage can be a bit stressful if done wrong. How does someone know if they're ready to try it?
I think you're ready when you've nailed the basics. Mm-hmm. You've got a stable income, manageable debt, a buffer in place, very important, that's that resilience, and clarity about why you want to invest. Are you investing because you're trying to sort retirement? Because you acknowledge there's a gap? Are you investing because you want to help your children? I think, again, knowing that why is really important because that needs to feed your strategy. And I must say, I think you also have to be emotionally ready. Ooh. If rate rises or a period without tenants would stress you out or keep you up at night, yeah, you may not be quite there yet.
Interesting. Okay. So a little bit of that emotional resilience as well as the financial resilience. So what would be some good tests to sort of think your way through this in terms of you're thinking, okay, I would like to give it a try. A lot of times people are nervous before they try something for the first time, no matter what, right? So how do you sort of give yourself a little bit of a test of, I think I would like to try this. I'm not sure how it would go. How do I think this through?
Yeah, I think when you have a plan, you understand the end goal, you put a number around that, it helps you to be braver. And I think also often, and this is particularly true with my savers, who really, as a whole, don't like risk, you need to acknowledge, well, what is the cost of not doing this? For example, if you are really focused on clearing your home mortgage, and that's what you want to focus on until it's gone, because that's a good strategy, you've got to understand, well, what is the cost of that equity sitting within that one property while you're focused on paying that debt? What is the cost to you of not having another appreciating asset mm-hmm. through a property cycle, which is about 10 to 15 years? So again, I think you can be braver when you understand the cost of inaction, you understand the numbers, and that is what you anchor yourself on. Also knowing that you have a good buffer if things were not to go perfectly, and likely it won't. So in effect, it's clarity gives you that confidence to act. And I think also sometimes having another person in your corner in terms of financial advisor that is independent, that often helps at these critical points as well.
I like that you've put it in terms of the cost of not doing anything, because this is something that comes up in terms of investing all the time, whether we're talking property or shares or whatever. People will say, you know, I'm nervous about it, because of course investing can go wrong. Yes, it definitely can. That's why we talk about it and talk about the smart ways to do it. But what people miss is the cost of everything being in a savings account, because, you know, even if you get an okay interest rate on a savings account, it's still often very small. And we've all had a demonstration of how inflation works recently when we've talked about the cost of living, how much that's gone up. Groceries are killing us. That's inflation in action. You know, imagine how your nana feels when a bottle of milk used to cost 50 cents and now she's looking at it and it's just absolutely nowhere near there anymore. You know, things go up in price every day, and it's really easy to look at a savings account and be like, my money is parked there and safe. But actually, it's getting nibbled away at by inflation bugs every day. It's able to buy less for you every day. And so the cost of not looking at things like investment, if you can, is that you're not keeping up with inflation, right? And that might not keep you awake the same way, but once you understand that that's happening, maybe it will.
Yeah, you're effectively banking a loss by being safe. And I think also another way to look at that inflation piece, which is so important, that debt can be a natural mitigant for mm-hmm. inflation, used really well for investment purposes with an investment property, because in effect, the value of the debt that you take on today in tomorrow's dollar will be worth less in effect in terms of the time value of money. So that's important to clock as part of this journey as well.
Not so fun fact, when you take on a 30-year mortgage, you'll probably pay more than double what you originally borrowed, because of the cost of interest. That's probably not the Kiwi dream you bought into. The team at EnableMe specialise in taking charge of your money and growing your wealth, including how to get rid of your mortgage faster. Book a consultation with an EnableMe financial advisor today by visiting enable.me.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. And let's talk more on that on debt, because debt gets a bad rap. And yes, we do a lot of episodes on paying off debt, on Making Sense. That's great and all. But it's a little simple, right? But there is good debt and bad debt. Debt can be helpful. Of course it can hurt, but it can be helpful. So what's the line between useful leverage and maybe getting in over your head and getting into too much debt in the pursuit of these future goals?
Debt is helpful when it gives you more freedom in the long run, not less. If it helps you build assets and options without taking away your lifestyle or sleep, to me, that's smart leverage. The red flag is when you're stretched so thin that even a small change like a rent drop or rate rise could sink you. That's really unhelpful.
Yes. And so you're just going to have to bite the bullet and run some numbers and make sure that you're not exactly on that line, right? I know we all hate running the numbers. Me too. But you've got to sit down and do it, right? Because if you're right on that line and there's no room for error, there's going to be error at some point.
Yeah, you're dead right. And it, to me, with my clients, we're trying to coach them to make sure that that underlying resilience is there, knowing that markets ebb and flow, there are cycles. That is what we know. So we want to make sure that your hand is never forced when there is a dip in the market. And gosh, if you live in Auckland, like myself, quite jarring to receive our up-to-date Auckland Council rates.
Horrendous.
That is jarring. Of course it is. It's like, oh, one of my biggest assets is worth less. But worth less on paper. So that's important. And you only ever crystallize that loss if your hand is forced. So there will be dips in the market. There's nothing surer than that in the future. But again, plan design needs to be such that you have a buffer so that you can hold your line. And often people would say to me, well, what if I have a period where I don't have a tenant? What will happen then? Will the sky fall? And actually, in reality, that's not the real risk. The real risk is you have to drop the rent by so much because it will be rented. It's just what people will pay to rent said property.
Yeah.
The cost or the risk is that it drops so much that you are forced to sell at some point in time. And again, if you have a buffer, you can hold your line until the market recalibrates because rent generally goes up in with inflation in time. So again, you've just got to have that resilience piece and know your numbers, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. And bit of a quick one, but this is going to be all important for it too, because you're going to have to go in and talk to the bank, right? As part of this, we're talking about, you know, getting some debt, getting some leverage. Well, you're probably going to be talking to the bank to get that sorted. So what will they want to know from you in order to get that approval? And from the point of view of when you're heading in there, are there any fish hooks that you should be watching out for in that discussion?
Absolutely. So banks are really looking at two things in terms of lending you money for investment properties, family homes, etc. Firstly, they're looking at equity, how much you already own of said property, or if you have a deposit. So they're looking at that equity ratio. They're also looking at serviceability. Can you afford it? And they want to make sure that you have a strong history of either repayment or savings in effect. The second part of that question, what should you look out for? I think when you are doing your numbers, overestimating rental income on applications, being optimistic, sometimes underestimating expenses that can trap you. And also not factoring in interest rate changes. Because as you can imagine, in 2021, when you were doing the math on 2%, 3% interest rates, potentially investments on paper looked more attractive than they did at 6-7% in terms of your ability to keep said investment. So again, I think you need to stress test numbers. And I think being really aware of tying up all of your equity, you got to keep some powder dry in terms of resilience and things changing in the future.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There is a reason that banks often stress test you at like 2% above what the actual mortgage rate is. And that's because they're building in that things can change. And it's really important to also factor that in for yourself. Like, okay, here's the scenario I'm hoping for, but here's some wiggle room on it might go either way. And it's so much better to plan for the worst than to have the worst happen and you hadn't thought about it.
Yeah. And again, acknowledging your true expenditure to live a good life. So again, it's not 9 a.m. Katie Wesney who is so good at saying no. It's that 3 p.m. Katie Wesney who is exhausted picking up children, planning that next holiday. So again, really understanding what's under the hood in terms of your personal finances, what's important to you to make sure that you can still live that best version of life. And again, that your hand is never forced.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. That's Katie Wesney from Enable Me. If this episode was helpful to you, firstly, hit subscribe so that you always get the inside word. Secondly, send it to a friend so that we all get smarter with money together. And we love taking your questions here. If you have more after this, drop them in the comments of this, whether you're on YouTube or Spotify or whatever. Drop them in the comments. Let us know more things because we love having Katie on here to figure it all out. But until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.